Amy Kranz, welcome to Lake Effect. It's a pleasure to have you here.
Thanks. It's so great.
So you are the founder of The Womb Room. What made you first want to start this place?
Well, I had been teaching yoga for some time in the city, and about 5 or 6 years ago started teaching prenatal yoga, and then really just wanted to expand on that and create more opportunities for pre- and postnatal yoga in the city. So we've started with teaching the classes, but then we're also teaching teachers to teach prenatal yoga, so prenatal yoga teacher training as well.
Do you think that's still a pretty unmet need in the greater Milwaukee, Southeast Wisconsin community?
Absolutely.
And even in the yoga community, is it something that's not really emphasized or pursued as a study right away when someone's looking for instruction?
Well, so in a typical 200-hour training, there would be a bit about prenatal yoga. It would be enough for a teacher to keep a prenatal student safe in class. So my feeling about prenatal yoga and postpartum yoga is that some of it is about the yoga and the postures and getting to know your body. And a big piece of it is about creating community with other people that are pregnant and postpartum. So for me, the emphasis is on not just including a pregnant person in a regular yoga class in a way that's safe for them, but creating community with other people that are in the same phase of life and in a way that feels safe, in a way that feels where we can feel better in our bodies and our hearts and our minds when we walk away from it. So I guess it's wonderful to have a yoga teacher, be trained in prenatal yoga. It's another thing to create a community for people that are in that phase of life with the benefit of you're doing yoga together.
Exactly.
See what I'm saying? So the community is primary and the yoga is bonus rather than the other way around.
Right. So before we touch upon your physical space and the community you're creating, can you touch upon how pre- and postnatal yoga differ from a typical yoga format class that anyone could walk into a studio or say their local gym that offers classes? You know, what are women's bodies experiencing during this time that you are being mindful of in adjusting positions or breath or body awareness?
Yeah, there's a lot of pieces. So another job that I have is as a birth doula. And so there are pieces that go into prenatal yoga that are really about preparing for birth. So preparing to be more connected to your breath, preparing to open up the body in a certain way to allow baby to move out more easily. So I think that at least in the focus of my classes, I try to sort of replicate the labor journey in the class so that the rhythm of labor is something that's sort of installed in them before they actually end up in the physical journey of labor. So maybe starting out with slower movements where they're getting in touch with their body, but they're not quite so taxed by the positions that they're in. It's sort of a turning inward, turning in and tuning in to ourselves and our babies, and then slowly building that workload until we get up to the really, really intense things like maybe a squat or a goddess pose or a warrior sequence where they really can look at the edge of their physicality and say, you know, if they can even say inside of their minds, I can't do this, that's going to happen to pretty much everybody when they're in labor. And so if you can get to that point where you can feel the feeling of I can't do this before you're in labor, you can realize what the thoughts are that go along with that, what your breath, how your breath changes when that happens. So it's a way of sort of feeling out the gesture of birth before you're actually in the birth journey itself. Even in the postpartum and as parents in general, we see that rhythm over and over again, the rhythm of this is pretty intense, but then all of a sudden, next thing you know, everybody's having a tantrum at once in the middle of Aldi, and you're just trying to get out of the grocery store, and you're like, I can't do this. And then, you know, something, you tap into something. So these skills that they're working with in class, they can use anywhere. And I guess that's part of the reason, too, that I include or that we include the children in the class as far as being in the physical space with us, because this is not meant to be a practice that we take outside of our lives and doesn't in any way translate into our lives. We want it to translate into our lives. We want our lives to be from a place of more comfort and ease and steadiness.
Right. Some people may think it's counterintuitive to go to a yoga class where your kids are also there with you and they are playing in the back corner, perhaps having a little tantrum, whatever the needs may be, or perhaps you need to stop to breastfeed your child. You know, when people typically think of yoga as going into this zen zone, it's completely quiet, you know, a little too quiet for people sometimes.
Right.
But for parents, you can't escape this.
Right.
In your everyday. It's your 24/7.
Right.
So what have you heard from mothers who couldn't find this kind of space before? Because a lot of times mothers, whether it's pre or postnatal, they have difficulties finding gyms that
yes.
perhaps offer a daycare, or, you know, they simply can't find the childcare to go
right.
away and take a class themselves.
Yeah. I think it's what I've heard is that it's a huge relief to be able to come to class and not have to find somewhere for the kids. And the other thing is just there are some parents who are, it's really anxiety provoking to think of leaving their kids in a childcare facility, even if it's within the gym itself. So the fact that they can be there and at the same time they have their own space, everything is childproof, so you don't have to worry about danger that way. And they also get to experience acceptance towards themselves, their journey towards each other and their own parenting journey. And as everything happens, everything just happens. We're working also on not judging ourselves, not judging each other, not judging each other's children. If somebody throws a yoga block at your face, or how many times we've had toddlers that have like taken a bite out of an infant. Or something
right,
like
right.
Not literally. But the, you know, working with that, that's a big piece and it's a stressful piece of parenting is being with other parents and wondering whether or not you're being judged or not, whether your child's behavior is being judged or not. And so having that safe space to go, we're all kind of in this together and we're all invested in these kids, not just our own kids, but all the kids that are here. And so seeing them as human beings instead of as the kid that threw the block in my head during Shavasana.
So the fact that this space is also childproof mm-hmm. must be a big relief to the participants coming in here. So can you describe your physical space
sure.
within the studio that would make it different compared to a typical yoga studio one would visit?
Yeah. So we knew that there was going to be more than just yoga going on in this space. We have some support groups for infertility or perinatal mood and anxiety disorders. We host Death Cafe, which is an open space to just talk about death and anything that goes is related to death. So we joke it should be the womb to tomb room instead. But and then we wanted to be able to have an open space for people to come in with unstructured time so that people could come. And it was really essential to me that the parents be comfortable. So there's a big couch space where our parents can sit and take a load off. We have tea and coffee available. And then it's all in an open space. So it started out just as a basement, a finished basement. And then a bunch of people, different people, birth workers and people interested in supporting families this way, got together and did everything from creating the physical space, picking out the paint colors to visioning what would be offered. So all, you know, at all different levels of support. And the space that we came up with, I think, is really multifunctional for all those different kinds of offerings and also is childproofed. So it's safe for little people to come to the support groups. So it's not just yoga that they can come to. They can come to the other things that their parents might come to. There's a cloth diaper class. Yesterday there was a potty training class. So those sorts of things. If you can't, you know, for some parents, maybe they want to go have a potty training class, but they don't have anywhere to put their toddler when they're at the potty training class. So being able to have kids come along is, I think, a relief for parents.
Right. I mean, you mentioned the womb to tomb. So it's very much a place that you want people to be able to access throughout their entire journeys from before becoming parents
yeah.
onward. And that big community aspect that comes with that, because a lot of times new parents can feel very isolated. You know, just the schedules of taking care of a newborn is very trying.
Right.
So how do you facilitate a place that continues to reinforce that message, that this is your community?
I think it's a couple of things. So one thing is just on the micro level of being in the yoga class and going around in the beginning of class and having everyone introduce themselves, tell us when they're due, tell us about their kids, and then answer a question. So we have a community developing question of some sort. So we always have an affirmation, and then on that affirmation, we have a question. So it might be something simple like, what's your favorite guilty pleasure? If your baby was named after your food cravings, what would it be named? And then all the way to, how is your mood? Have you had any experiences with challenging moods since you've been pregnant, since you've been postpartum? How was your birth? Was your birth what you expected? What is it now? So it can really run the gamut, and so allows the people that participate to really normalize what can happen in parenting, in birth, in pregnancy. So it's not as if anyone's thinking to themselves, well, my position was like this, and that is so weird from what everybody else's was. Or the opposite, what's happening for me is what's happening for everybody else. I find that people really sift themselves into those two categories. And so
we have a lot of expectations put on ourselves, or
right,
by society of,
yep,
what a successful, quote, you know,
absolutely,
parent is.
And yeah, if you're not doing that, you figure that you're not doing that and everybody else is doing that. The other piece that's kind of broader than that is that we really want for the space to be a space for conversation. And so that means that it's not only sort of supporting people that are pregnant, birthing, and postpartum, but it's also supporting which ways in which we marginalize different people, different conversations. So marginalizing mental health, marginalizing around race. So trying to create space to pull out of the margins ways in which people are not served in birthing and postpartum and pregnancy, but also in other parts of life. Like, how are we supporting families and different families in the way that families can look different? How are we supporting people that don't have access to the services that people that are from a higher socioeconomic bracket have access to? So, like, if you look at the natural birthing world, there is really, and it overlaps with yoga, right? So yoga and the natural birthing world have in common that they are accessible to a certain segment of society. And so from both of those perspectives, looking outside of that segment and going, if we really know that these things work, if we really know that creating community helps to give relief, it should be accessible in a broader way than it has been in the past. Same thing with yoga. If I know that yoga is great for preparing someone for birth, if I know that it's a great tool for pregnancy and postpartum, then I want it to be accessible beyond the boundaries of where it's been accessible. And so starting to think about, like, what are the ways in which it isn't accessible? Is it because we haven't worked hard enough to create a space that seems safe and inclusive? And so how can we be transparent about how we're making that happen?
Well, how do you tackle the challenge of bringing in newcomers? You know, perhaps they haven't even done yoga before, but here's a community and a space,
yeah,
that is more than about yoga being a fitness routine, but an inclusive practice.
Yeah, it's so word of mouth. Word of mouth is so important. I think the safety piece, for sure, needs to be communicated from someone that's been in the circle out. Because rarely will I get somebody who is nervous about maybe the mental health piece, or nervous about a person of color who doesn't necessarily want to come into a white space. Rarely do you see someone like that just come out of the woodwork. It's been communicated that this space is a place for conversation. This is not a place where we're taking anything for granted. And it's built, at least the yoga piece, built some on the foundation of me already having been a teacher for a long time. So there was that piece too. Then there are so many birth workers that work in the space too. And so I think just the inclusion of birth workers creates a level of safety.
Well, and keeping those things in mind, how did you find yourself changing your instructional practice from going from a traditional yoga setting, but then incorporating it into this new setting and also incorporating, you know, your experience as a mother yourself, your educational background in psychology. What kind of things, because you truly had the freedom to form your new practice in your new space. You weren't at the dictation of, say, a gym's guidelines or things. So what were you mindful of and what did you want to accomplish in your own teaching?
I think it's always been really important to me to have a trauma-sensitive perspective. Being a birth doula and experiencing what birth can look like and making sure to include that interoception, so the cueing that this teaching, this work is happening from your body out, not from my instruction on to your body. So I think the mental health piece has always been just right there at the top for me. And also, it's essential also to me that my use of yoga be constantly examined as well, because it's not a tradition that belongs to me as a white person. It's not a tradition that I just can take for granted and say, oh, I want to have this piece and this piece, but I don't want to have this piece. And so that's important to me too. I guess the big piece with the psychology is just the understanding that the body is the doorway in a lot of times to mental health issues, to the healing of trauma. And so what better modality than to be including the body and listening to the body and trusting the wisdom of the body at the same time as finding some stability in our minds and in our hearts. In my experience, you can't do it without it. So if I would have gone the traditional route of being a psychologist who sat in a chair and had a therapy session with somebody, I would not be authentic to who I am as a person, which is somebody who's kinesthetic and somebody who wants to have an experience of our body as part of my life, not as just an adjacent fact. It's exercise in the sense of we are definitely sometimes getting a workout. A lot of times we're just getting a good stretch. We're getting some space in places that we don't have space, especially as babies grow and encroach on our organs and whatnot. But the body is so much more than just the bones and the muscles and the connective tissue. You know, our minds, our anxiety, for example, is so connected to our bodies. So we almost always have this sort of physical aspect to anxiety. So if a mom is experiencing postpartum anxiety, then being able to be with the sensations of her body in a different way and not getting hooked into the anxiety loop.
Well, and that obviously applies outside the classroom because parenting is a very anxious and at times fear-inducing experience for a lot of people.
Yeah.
So outside of helping to tackle those anxieties and having your children with you in the classroom, how have you found that that helps mothers tackle their everyday lives once they leave your space?
There are some parents who come every week and that they're just really religious about it. They come no matter what shape they're in, no matter what shape their kid's in. And I think that from some of those type of people, I've heard afterwards that it's really what their sanity hangs on every week. They get that one time that they know that they can stop for a second, even if they're still in the midst of feeding their baby, even if they're still in the midst of parenting their toddler. They get that one moment to just stop and breathe. Maybe it's just the chanting of Om in the beginning that they're present for. Maybe it's just as simple as that. It doesn't have to be a huge practice. And sometimes it's just about being with each other, too. It's not even about the actual physical practice. I've had one thing that happened was when I started to teach prenatal and then as a yoga a teacher who had taught for many years before that, I didn't ever have students that would be in my class and then all of a sudden they were gone because they had their babies and they were now disqualified for prenatal yoga, right? So they're not there anymore. I had combined the prenatal class with the postpartum class at one point, and I had a mom who came on Wednesday and she was pregnant. She came the next Wednesday with her baby in the baby carrier, sat down on a mat and just sobbed and said, I need my people. So it really is this sense of like grounding in community and everything is going to be okay. And we're all doing the best that we can. And some of us are succeeding and some of us are struggling, and most of us are doing both of those things on the daily.
What is your favorite moment of class?
Oh, well, I love Shavasana.
Don't we all?
Only once did I. So I always say to the students when they get started and throughout the class that everything is optional. And I think that that's really good training for birth as well, as we move into, especially those that are birthing in a medical context. It's understanding that you have choices about your own body and how your body is moving and what kind of poses you do or don't do. And I did have one time in my 11 years of teaching, I did have one student who took Shavasana the entire time. It was like she was really just going to test me and see if I was really for real about that.
Yeah.
And I was. And she did. And it was awesome. But I love Shavasana because I love getting people, and actually the sweatier the class, the better. So if people are really, really sweaty up and then they lay down and they're really, really able to relax because they have had a really strong practice, I like them to be in that space so that I can tell them how awesome they are. That is bliss for me. When I can do a, when we can do a physical practice where they have worked so hard to like kind of let down not only their physical tension, but any sort of walls and feelings of unworthiness that they've put up as parents or as people. And then I get this opportunity where they're really open and I can just whisper loving words into their ears at that time. So, and I'm really aware of making sure that that's a safe space. And so I make sure that there's consent around touch. I am aware of my students' needs and the things that have gone in, a lot of times gone into their pasts or what's experienced in their birth story. So with respect, I don't want to make it sound like I don't pay attention to what they need when they're that relaxed. I have an incredible amount of respect for being able to create that space and being able to be in that space with them.
Well, and I'm sure all of the people who go there and participate with you have just as much respect for you back. And I want to thank you so much for coming in to talk about this and for the work that you're doing.
Yeah, thank you.